Awesome. Well, we are going to get started, and we're going to look at a couple of the accounts of Peter in the scriptures that we read. And Peter, I don't know, just quickly, what, for those of you, what, when you hear Peter, what are kind of the, some of the first things that come to mind?
Mark.
Martin?
You're talking about me.
Okay.
Talk first.
The Peter in the Bible.
The Lord.
The Rock. Okay?
The Rock. Not, the, you know, the Rock. Dwayne Johnson, but like the Rock, yeah. Okay. What other things come to mind when you think of Peter in the Bible?
The Catholic Church.
Okay, Catholic Church.
All or nothing, baby.
All or nothing.
Simon Peter, or was it?
Yeah, Simon Peter. So, some of us, you're going to hear it. So we see a few different things from Peter. And, whenever I hear Peter, there's a bunch of different things that kind of go through your mind. Maybe some other stories of Peter, and you start to kind of think, who was this Peter guy, and what was he all about? And we see a little bit of who he is. So if we turn to November 2nd, and John 18, 15 to 18. And I'm going to pick up on a few different sections. So it says in verse 15, Simon Peter followed Jesus, as did another of the disciples. The other disciple was acquainted with the high priests, so he was allowed to enter the high priest's courtyard with Jesus. So we talked about this briefly before, but most people, we would think that it was John. But Peter, again, if we kind of go back in some of the other scriptures, right? Peter not long ago had told Jesus, you know what, maybe others will leave, but you know what, I'm going to be here till the end. And so that was kind of, you know, ringing in my ear a little bit as well while some of these, while this account of Peter's denial comes up. And I just was kind of thinking, right, John, he's like that guy you obviously wanted to be around. Like if you're out and you're at like, you know, this nice place and there's a big line and you have to wait, you're like, no, I know that guy. And John's like, yeah, come on in, right? And John gets Peter into where Jesus is. And so verse 16, Peter had to stay on the outside of the gate. So we see that Peter wasn't allowed in. Then the disciple who knew Jesus, the high priest, spoke to the woman watching at the gate, and she let Peter in. The woman asked Peter, "You're not the one that the man's disciples, are you?" So often in this context, the woman or others, they often had people who would let you in through the gate. And so this woman is here, and others talk about it in the other Gospels. But you're not the one that the man's disciples, are you? This kind of question. But she's gazing at him steadily and with intent. She's really, and I kind of got this picture of her kind of really, you know, like the hand on the chin and kind of really gazing at Peter to kind of figure out, aren't you who maybe I think you are? Some of the other Gospels, they change the wording a little bit, where it says, "Are you not?" implying she knew he was a disciple. So she may have, again, the text isn't totally clear, but she had obviously seen him somewhere else. And Matthew translates Peter's response in, "I know not what you say." Absolutely denying her question. In other words, how do you come by this question? I don't understand what you mean. Where are you getting this from? Where are you getting this information about me? And he's obviously totally, denying it. His previous courage had all but evaporated at this point. And that was just, again, going back to before what I said. He was now afraid, and more looking at his own safety than the one of his master. And so we see already how Peter's kind of showing his heart. And I'm going to obviously talk about it. I found it really cool how I talked on February 28th about the heart, and we're going to see some of Peter's heart as well. We're often given an easy way out. And I was thinking that about Peter, is he was asked a direct question. It wasn't subtle. And he easily could have just been like, absolutely. But that's not what we see here. Verse 18. Because it was cold, the household servants and guards made a charcoal fire. They stood around it, warming themselves, and Peter stood with them, warming himself. So now we see, if we go back to, again, the garden, how Peter was so easily pulling out a sword and ready to take the fight, but now he's hanging out with some of these soldiers, and he's kind of, you know, hiding out and not wanting to be seen. And often, at that time of the year, it could have been, right, cooler, and so they built fire so people would gather around them. So obviously Peter is going closer to the fire for warmth. Verse 25, meanwhile, as Simon Peter was standing by the fire warming himself, they asked him again, are you not one of the disciples, are you? He denied it, saying, no, I am not. Verse 26, but one of the household slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, busted, asked, didn't I see you out there in the olive grove with Jesus? So now we're seeing Peter's kind of, and I'm just kind of like doing this while I'm reading this, kind of this little comic strip in my mind, and just seeing Peter kind of piece these things together and okay, what is he going to do? Like, well, no, that was, you know, somebody else. It looked like me. You know, we have beards and you know, like trying to kind of talk his way out of it, right? But he doesn't. He just denies it. In 27, again, Peter denied it. And immediately the rooster crowed. And I found it really cool how the different Gospels put different things in there. And when I say different things, they added things like some of the, like Matthew, I put this down. I'll clarify in just a minute what I mean by that. But in Matthew's account, they recognize his accent. So even by his speech, they said, wait a minute, you're not from around here. And just by the way he would pronounce certain words, it would stand out. We could use an example. Is there anybody from the East Coast of Canada that we can pick on? No, I'm just kidding. But right, when somebody's from like Newfoundland or something like that, you can notice it right away. And just some little differences. Or if you... You know, I had the privilege, I went to college in the United States, and I could definitely, being from here, I could definitely hear a difference from where they were in the United States. And so Matthew pulls that up. So what I'm saying by the differences is they actually, the Gospels actually agree on the details, but some add little pieces to it. So it's not that they disagree by any means. Peter is saying there is no personal connection between him and Jesus. He's really, when he's denying it, he's really, really, really making sure they understand. In the final denial, Peter was declaring in the strongest way he knew that he was telling the truth. He was really obviously trying to make sure that they understood that he was not connected to Jesus in any way. And I like how in Luke 22, this part, again, just this comic strip or kind of me sitting in that area there, in the Luke 22, Jesus looks down at Peter and they make eye contact and Peter runs away weeping. And that part, again, struck a chord in me, just to what would it be like to, you know, kind of be that movie camera beside it and just view that. It obviously really crushed Peter. It finally kind of soaked in what had just taken place. And Jesus too, right? Knowing kind of what has gone on. I just, you know, I would love the speech bubbles of thought of what was going on there. So now we're seeing the contrast between the Lord's steadfastness and a man's weakness. But I can't help but always think about myself and personal things and how, right, how many times have I, maybe not as blatantly as that, but, right, done things that I know I shouldn't have done or you know, the reason I'm saying it is we often, I think, we can put Peter as like, oh man, he totally just messed up. And we maybe distance ourselves, but when I was reading through that, I was just thinking of myself and just like, God, you know, how many times have I let you down or, you know, done things that I know I shouldn't have? But again, just the steadfastness of God and Jesus and saying, you know what, like, Nate, okay, let's dust you off. Let's pick you back up again and let's keep moving forward. Is there any questions about the denial before I move on?
I like how you mentioned the contrast, because through reading, that's one thing that was illuminated as I read, and I'm still finding it as I read the Bible every day. Mm. But from Mary weeping and loving lavishly upon Jesus to Judas, and then to Judas weeping, first of all, betraying Jesus and others following him, but Judas weeping and running and committing suicide, and Peter weeping but turning back, and then the criminal beside Jesus denying him and mocking him, yet the other one, the beauty of the gospel, being told he has permission to be in paradise that day.
Yeah.
But just the continual contrast. There's no in between.
Yeah. Mm.
That's good.
So now, what we're going to do is we're going to take up John 21. And again, I apologize. I forgot to... I didn't get the page down.
End of November 6th.
Yeah, near the end of November 6th. And verse 15 says, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me more than these? And what I was thinking as a teacher was, right, like, totally singling out, and they tell you never to do this, but, right, think about it, totally singling out a student in front of all us and being like, hey, do you think you're smarter than all of these people put together? Like, Jesus totally just calls him out right in front of everybody. And again, I was like, man, what, I wonder what they were thinking with this question. So earlier in the chapter, it tells us that there was other disciples fishing with Peter. And so now there's this question out there, and I just, again, couldn't help myself, like, wow, what kind of thoughts are going through the other disciples' minds? Just, again, total speculation here, but maybe they had heard about Peter's denial. Maybe there was some knowledge of that. Maybe that had spread. But now we're going to see this restoration and of relationship. When you go through this, I can't help myself. I have to go through this because it once you start looking into it, you'll see where I'm going to go through this. But it says these words, and I don't know if anyone has also done this, but kind of studied this piece of scripture, And there's a difference in words of what Jesus uses and how Peter responds. And the word for love, what Jesus uses is this noun for agape, is the word that Jesus uses. And going back again to the February 28th where we talked about love, is this all-encompassing love. Call to love God with not only our physical, but everything available for honoring God. Agape love, which includes, right, just our spouse, you know, houses, our things, everything. This all-encompassing, right? Loving to great lengths. Nothing hard or inconvenient is some of the things that I used on February 28th. And you jump at the chance to be together. And so this is the love that Jesus is using when he asks Peter. Another kind of interesting piece of it is Jesus says, Simon, Peter. And he uses the old name of Peter. So now again, we're going to see this new relationship, this restored relationship. And I found that really cool, something that stood out. That these three denials was the old nature of Peter. Simon had not yet become that rock, but we're going to see he's definitely, after this encounter, has a new understanding. And so Peter responds, "Yes, Lord," Peter replied, "you know I love you." Peter's response is more of kind of this idea of fond, a different word than Jesus used. Friendship, fondness. And that, this really kind of stuck to me. And yeah, just kind of, I'm still kind of going over it again and again and again. So what does Jesus say? He says, "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. So we're seeing how Jesus is continuing to, we'll see it further, is, you know, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, and further on as we read. And we see how Jesus, again, changes that. So feed my lambs. This idea of, right, lambs, right? Lambs are smaller, they're needing care. So maybe, you know, the younger people, being tender with them, right? This idea of lambs, you have to be more tender with them. And he says, feed them, right? Taking them to pasture and feeding them continuously. This idea of feeding lambs. Verse 16. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep." So Jesus had changed it from lamb to sheep. Jesus is changing the question just slightly, saying, "Take care or shepherd my sheep, guard them." Jesus is saying, right, all sheep need shepherding. Peter, will you do that? Verse 17. A third time he asked, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" So now, here's where Jesus changes it again. And it says, Peter was hurt that Jesus asked him the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." So what's Peter saying? "You know my lying down. You know when I fail. You know when I make mistakes, big or small. You know when I spoke too soon and put my foot in my mouth." So now Jesus is changing the question again. Jesus wants to go deeper with Peter, right? He wants to get into his heart. Jesus wants Peter to know him by experience. He wants to take this relationship just past the surface, right? He wants to get in. He wants to change Peter. He wants to change us, right? We can see that Peter has obviously learned a lot about himself in that time. I was thinking of also that piece of scripture. There's one account where when Peter heard that Jesus had been raised, Peter ran. Peter ran. And just this change in Peter throughout the scriptures that we're reading this evening. Peter had learned not to trust his own evaluation of the degree of his love. Peter was at a place to let the Lord determine the depths of his love. He was allowing Jesus to look into his heart. Going deeper in love with God, just not just on the outside, permeating. So Jesus says, right, then feed my sheep. No more fishing, Peter. Fishing is done, right? You don't need to fish anymore. I've got other things for you. But throughout this whole process of, you know, Peter, do you love me? There's no condemning Peter. There's no, Peter, hey, remember when you said this or you did this or you did that, right? Jesus isn't doing that. Jesus isn't bringing up that again. Jesus was happy with Peter's authenticity, with how Peter responded to Jesus. Do you love me? Peter was saying, you know what? My humanness, I don't know how. I don't know how to do that. But Jesus, right, is Jesus saying, with me, right, I can show you. I can teach you what love is like. Jesus wants Peter to understand it's in a relationship. Right? The risen Lord, like a good shepherd, has dealt with Peter in a very tender, giving way, encouraging him and bringing him to a place of renewal. So now we see Peter, right, realizing how his devotion to the Lord was not superior, that he as well understood that he needed Christ just as much as the disciples did, as we do. Right, Jesus was drawing him into this steadfast love. And I liked how, Shannon, how you address this of how Peter's life resembled somebody that ran to Jesus, right? He didn't run away from Jesus. And I found that, right, is so encouraging is to us as well, is, right, to run to Jesus, right? We're not perfect, but we need to run to Jesus. So Jesus, again, just to kind of reiterate it a few more times to drive the point home. Jesus says, follow me. Keep moving forward. Keep learning. And I was thinking of analogy of a ship, right? With momentum of a ship. Whoever has driven a boat, it's easier to drive a boat when it's moving or to steer it, right? When you've got a bit of momentum. And for those that have driven a boat, you realize that very fast when you're coming up to logs or whatever, trying to maneuver it, and you're going slow, and you've cranked the wheel all the way, and it's like, I'm not turning fast enough because you're going too slow. It's easier with momentum, right? Jesus wants us to follow him. Fall in love with me. That's what he's drawing us to. 1 Corinthians 13:7, right? Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This love, right, that Jesus wants us to have is that kind of love. And we're seeing Peter's transformation into understanding what that love is like. Peter is a great example to us on what to do if we mess up. To turn around and go after God, not away from him. Right? God uses our mess and turns it into a message for him. So keep following him, right? When we see in these scriptures is how, right, God's just trying to see, hey, Peter, follow me. Follow me. And we again see, as if you read further in the scripture, Jesus revealing what Peter's life is going to be like and how he does, right, the rock, and how he does, eventually give his life. And again, it's just an amazing reminder. We've got a few more minutes, and I think it's song night, so we're going to go with song night. I'm just going to play this song to kind of wrap up tonight. So Heavenly Father, I thank you that we're redeemed, Lord, that you've set us free, God, that Lord, you're taking us on a journey to be more like your Son. So Father, I thank you for, wiping away every stain and chain, Lord, that Father, that we're not the same as we once were, that we're new creations. And so Lord, we just thank you for, again, this example in Scripture of Peter, Lord, how you took him on a journey, Lord, and you redeemed him and you redeem us. So, Father, I just pray that, again, we would keep our eyes firmly fixed on you. Jesus, that you would draw us nearer to you, Lord God, and that, Father, we wouldn't listen to the lies of the enemy, but we would listen to your voice and what you're saying. In Jesus' name, amen.
Excellent, Nate. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you guys. This has been a fun course. We'd be delighted to have you back for more if you'd like next month. Please do register. And if you can, do the reading before the next class, because we're going to hit the ground running in the book of Acts. Bless you guys. Have a good night. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.